Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Bethel Covenant Church podcast, where we host the latest sermons and other programming. You can also visit us on Facebook and YouTube to watch videos of our sermons, checking up with the latest updates, and to view further programming. If you'd like more information about our church, please visit our website at bethelcov.org. Thank you for listening to this program.
We are on our fourth Sunday here of looking at widows and what they have to teach us and what it means to follow God and who God is. This week isn't a story per se, but rather just instructions that God gives. So two readings. First one is Deuteronomy 24, and then the second one is a verse in James. It says, "Do not deprive the foreigner or the fatherless of justice, or take the cloak of the widow as a pledge. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. That is why I command you to do this. When you are harvesting in your field and you overlook a sheaf, do not go back and get it. Leave it for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. When you beat the olives from your trees, do not go over the branches a second time. Leave what remains for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. When you harvest the grapes in your vineyard, do not go over the vines again. Leave what remains for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow." James 1:27. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. God's word for us this day. Olivia has quite a collection of stuffed animals in her short-lived life. This, of course, is not uncommon for young girls, as stuffed animals are great go-to gifts, whether for a birthday or Christmas or whenever they may be out with grandma and they see a cute teddy bear that's too hard to pass up while they go shopping. Grandma may say, "Oh, this one would be great to go with all the other ones." And each stuffed animal in its own right has some sort of connection to Olivia, this little girl that I'm just sort of making up off the top of my head. And while each one has a special connection, there's something special about that Winnie the Pooh bear. One that her parents notice that she has an extra special connection to. For they noticed that whenever it came to bedtime, while all the stuffed animals that she placed on her bed would go to the basket, except for Pooh Bear. Pooh Bear got to sleep with Olivia. And then when she got up in the morning, it was Pooh Bear who was invited to the breakfast table, not the other stuffed animals. Whenever Olivia would spend a night at a friend's house or overnight at Grandma and Grandpa's, it was Winnie the Pooh who came along to spend the night as well. Whenever the family went on a long road trip, an extended weekend or a week-long camping vacation, Pooh Bear was the one that came camping too. Winnie the Pooh was never left behind, never forgotten. It was always loved by Olivia. It isn't that she didn't love the other stuffed animals, it's just that Pooh Bear was a priority for Olivia. It held a special place in her heart. Widows are a priority to God as well. As we look at a couple of these verses, ones beyond the ones that I just read this morning, we see in Deuteronomy 10:18, God defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow. and loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing. Psalm 68:5, a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. And Psalm 146:9, the Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. In these three verses, we see the Lord defends the widow along with the orphan and the foreigner. The Lord provides basic needs, food and clothing, and the Lord watches over the widow. When God was establishing his people of Israel after they left Egypt, he gave them a bunch of do's and don'ts. He was trying to tell them how to be the people of God. And we find these do's and don'ts in the books of Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. It's within those books in Deuteronomy that we see the Ten Commandments. God's law were seen as special instructions to the Israelites on how to treat each other and how to worship God. God did not want his people to be like the other people. They were people of God. And the people of God are to have the same priorities as God. This is what we heard in our passage this morning, in that Deuteronomy passage, 24:17 through 21. In that passage, we see God instructing his people, do not deprive widows or foreigners or orphans. In that day and age, when there was a pledge between two people, one would take some sort of collateral for that pledge. It was a cloak, but God is saying, no, don't take what little they have, what little this widow has to survive on. Don't take that as a pledge. We also see in this instructions to leave behind food in the field. When you're in the olive trees, don't go back again to clean everything up, but leave some food behind. This is true for the grapevine as well. In other words, God is saying, provide for them. Zechariah 7:10 puts it this way, do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the foreigner or the poor. Do not plot evil against each other. And then going to the New Testament, that priority remains, as we read in James 1:27. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans, the widows, in their distress. It's pretty clear here to see how God has put widows as a priority. And not just widows, but orphans and the fatherless. Orphans, the fatherless, and the foreigners. As people think about wanting to relate to God, to having a religion, to having a faith that's acceptable, if we would want a faultless religion, then we would do well to care for widows and orphans and make that a priority. The church can busy itself with all sorts of other religious activity. But if we want a ministry that God will accept, that God is pleased with, that clearly falls in line with God's priorities, then it will be a ministry to widows, the fatherless, and the foreigners. This includes widows and widowers looking after each other. A widow can certainly be a part of a ministry that cares for other widows. So it isn't just non-widows looking after widows. This is a ministry that all are invited to. All are invited to participate in this pure religion. Why are widows a priority to God? And not just widows, but the fatherless, slash the orphan, and the foreigner. The reason is because each of these group of people, in general, have a harder life. In general, they are more vulnerable. This is especially true in the culture that the words that I read were shared from the Bible. In that day and age, they were extremely vulnerable, and life was much harder. And I would say, for the most part, that continues to be true today. Life can be much harder. Now, does that mean that all widows, all foreigners, all orphans have a tough life, or their life is the toughest? Certainly some people can have it worse off than them and not be in those categories, so that isn't what I'm saying. But God wants us to know that this is a priority for them, that he cares for them, and it's to be a priority for us. The reason why God tells us to do this is because, for the most part, culture would view widows, orphans, foreigners as less than, as insignificant, as unimportant, and therefore devalued. This is why God has them as a priority. If God did not say, take care of the widow, people may not take care of the widow or the orphan or the foreigner. In fact, when was the last time, and I'm using you, but me, did I do something for that group of people that our culture sees as insignificant, unimportant, and devalued? And where do we, as a church, do this? Now we do this. It happens organically. Mary Gilseth shared this a few months ago, how grateful she was for the people here at Bethel. They came out and helped with house and yard work. And I want to say, good job. Well done. It happens. However, it doesn't happen systematically. There is no sort of systematic ministry that we have to widows. When it happens organically. If I were to compare other sort of systematic ministries that we have a systematic ministry to feed those who need food. This is our Ruby's Pantry ministry. This happens on the first Saturday of every month. There's a system in place where we go out and do this ministry. We systematically teach kids God's Word on Sunday morning. Every Sunday, kids come and they get dismissed to teach God's Word. We teach middle schoolers God's Word through confirmation. We're doing that once a month, and then they're doing that at home on their own. So there are a number of ministries that we have. Those are just some examples where there's a system in place to carry out that ministry. When it comes to our ministry to widows, though, I would say it's a little more haphazard. Just look at the list of widows here at Bethel. And if someone was left off, that was accidental. I mean, it's just, you can blame me, I'm still new. If I were to have guessed how many widows we had before seeing this list, I would not have guessed 23. People that are connected to the church one way or another. And I share this only to say, look at our opportunity. Many churches wonder, what is the ministry that God is calling us to? We need not look. We need not wonder. We need not doubt. We need not question what God is calling us to. God's word is clear. Minister to the foreign, the orphan, and the widow. 23 names here of women connected to Bethel. Another 4 names of men who have lost their spouse. And then there are names of men and women who have said goodbye to a husband and wife and have been remarried. That's just people connected to Bethel, not to mention people in the community. In the community. Again, my succinct ministry summary statement would be, we want to have Bethel be a place where we help people. What is your ministry at Bethel? We help people. We share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we help people. Who is on that list for you to help? And helping may be nothing more than befriending, having them over for a meal once a month, or once every other month, or just once. Just start with once. You are already going to eat. You already have room at your table. All you have to do is be intentional to say, hey, I'm thinking of you and I want to invite you to join me/us. And again, this could be a widow inviting another widow. It doesn't have to be non-widows to widows. It can be widow to widow. Everyone's invited to be a part of this ministry. But really, I'm encouraging household. I'm encouraging couples. I'm encouraging families to do this. And you may think, and you may say in the invite, our house is a little crazy, but do you want to come over for lunch? And the reply may surprise you. They may say, you know what? I miss crazy. Yeah, I think I'll come over. Hearing from each other is really important. This is a high priority for me as a pastor, that we hear from each other, that we know each other's stories, that it's a part of our Sunday morning worship, not just coffee time and Wednesday night time and other times that we're together. But so a few months ago, we got to hear from Linda Stroud when we were doing our sermon series on spiritual gifts. And today, we get to hear from Joanne Farrell, one of the women on our list who's a widow. She's going to share about her faith, part of her faith story, her life, which includes being a widow. And let me just say that there's pressure to say the right thing, to have it line up with the message, but I just want her to know and you all to know that there is no pressure. Whenever I would ask for you to share, all you have to do is share, and we're just going to trust that God's going to use what is said. God will do the rest. So, Joanne, please come up and share with us today.
Well, I think I have too many notes because of the thing is not standing up. My journey of faith, I believe, began when I was an infant, perhaps when I was still in my mother's womb. My family was a family that was always at church. If there was a service, we were there, or somebody was. In those days, there was no nursery, so the parents held the infants during service. And so I was held during services. I heard the songs that were sung. I heard the testimonies of the saints in our church. I heard the sermons and the prayers. And I believe that even infants do take in what they hear around them. And hearing this over twice a week at least, I know I took in a lot. And to me, there were songs that were sung that still are in my mind, and I still remember, and I can tell you pages that some of them are on in the hymnal that we had at that point in time. And these songs, I think, in my mind, I know as well as I know the song Jesus Loves Me. Some of those songs that still mean so much to me are Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, Come and Dine, praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Victory in Jesus. How beautiful heaven must be. And he lives. These are songs that I could sing most of the verses for you right now without a book. But I won't bore you with that, or I won't make you suffer through that. Eventually, I went to Sunday school. I left my mom's lap or my dad's lap and ventured into Sunday school. And there, again, it was stories and songs and memory verses, learning John 3:16, the Ten Commandments, the Beatitudes, Philippians 2:14, and 2 Corinthians 9:7. The 23rd Psalm. All those things still are in my mind because I learned them when I was little, and they're a big part of my journey of faith. As I got older, our classes got a little more deeper. We talked about how we interpreted the scriptures that we were learning about how they applied to our own personal lives. And one of the verses from that era that has always stuck with me is 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care on him, for he cares for you. In 1967, our family got to put that and all the other promises of God to the test. My mom had cancer. In 1967, they weren't able to do much with cancer. So she was home with us all summer. It was truly God's timing. We had her home, And we spent a lot of time, my sister and I in particular, learning how to take care of the house, learning about cooking meals. And my sister learned more about taking care of the house than I did, because I'm still not a good housekeeper. But I'm a fairly good cook. So anyway, we were able to spend time with Mom. And as we were learning the things we needed to learn for our daily lives, she also shared her faith and assured us that she had nothing to fear because she was in God's hands. I think even though people prayed for healing for her, in my heart anyway, I never felt that she was going to be healed. It was distressing that God was going to take her from us, but I knew that God would take care of us. And he did. We had wonderful family and friends that stepped up and did things for us that we couldn't do ourselves. So faith was growing. Those seeds that were planted as an infant were taking root and growing. And another verse that I like that goes back to that era is Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So life went on, and our lives continued, and I got married, and I had children, and I had a husband, and our life wasn't always the greatest. We had our ups and downs with losing Mike's parents along the way, and being in a seasonal trucking job of hauling logs. Sometimes finances were an issue with us, but God always got us through. We had a wonderful church family at that time that was also a big part of ours and our children's lives. And I'm so thankful for that, that tree of faith or whatever that was growing in me was flourishing. The roots were going deeper, and it was visible for others to see, I hope. And a couple years ago in the summer, late spring of 2021, I was sitting with a friend who had recently lost her husband and was somewhat dismayed, and I miss him so much, and what am I going to do? And I shared the verse. I didn't know what the passage was, so it was, you know, my interpretation of it, but Psalm 68:5, he's the father to the of the fatherless and the defender of the widows. Little did I know that in September I'd be repeating that to myself, and kind of was a mantra that I had to absorb. But I still had the Word of God, and I still had God with me and people that were praying for me. And there are verses that came to mind, and songs that I rely on. And I sing to myself all the time, those old songs I learned as a child, but also other songs. At Calvary, the chorus to that, mercy there was great and grace is free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. What can I say? He's promised me all of that. Then there are songs, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. Andre Crouch wrote a song called Through It All. I've learned to trust in Jesus. If I had never had these problems, I wouldn't know that God could solve them. And a thoughtful song, what a day that will be when my Jesus I will see. When I look on his face, how exciting, how wonderful. It's beyond our comprehension what it will be like. And verses, Isaiah. There's verses in Isaiah that I love, but Isaiah 40, verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will keep you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And also Isaiah 40, verse 31. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. What a promise that if we wait upon the Lord, waiting's not easy. I'm not typically a real patient person, but I'm learning to wait a little better than I did. There's a song, Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him, I would fall. When I am sad, to him I go. No other one can cheer me so. When I am sad, he makes me glad. He's my friend. What a best friend. Mike is gone, and I miss him. I'm talking to the choir because there's so many widows and widowers out here and in our church family here. You all know what we experience differently, or maybe we feel it differently, but we all miss that mate that we had. But I have the assurance, I know I'm going to see him again. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to say, greet our Father God and spend time with him. But then I'm going to go find my family, my friends that are waiting there. And I can't wait. I'll wait, but it's hard waiting sometimes to know we're going to be reunited with people that are such an important part of us. And so that's kind of where my journey of faith has taken me. One other scripture that I like is Isaiah 43, verses 1 and 2. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. So all the things that I consider trials, I know God will take me through them. And I just trust that my journey of faith will continue to grow until I come to that last mile of the day and he takes me home to celebrate with him and all of those that are waiting in heaven. So I thank you for your support during this time. You've all been with me through Mike's short illness. Many of you were here for the funeral. Many of you just include me in your prayers, I know, and give me support face-to-face sometimes, you know, just letting me know that you care about me. And I try to do the same for each of you. You all are a very important part of my life and my family of God. So thank you so much for your support and maybe being the fertilizer as I grow this tree of faith and walk this journey, because I don't walk it alone. For sure, God is with me every step of the way. And I bought a t-shirt, and Galen has one just like it. We were both at a music festival, and we both ended up buying the same shirt, and it says, trust God and take another step. And that's what I do. Each morning when I get up, and in God, I take that first step of the day. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Joanne. God speaks to you through music, those lyrics, and through his word, as God does. And this is why we want to be people of the word. It's the living word for our living lives. We can share a verse, and then all of a sudden that verse is talking to us. Yeah. In his first letter to Timothy, Paul addresses the area of ministering to widows in churches.
And if I had a fifth week on this series, I would unpack this passage that he has in 1 Timothy. What's really interesting in this passage, he says, the church doesn't necessarily is supposed to take care of all the widows. He goes on to say how there's different levels of need. And while I've emphasized widows were vulnerable and in need, there were some widows in Paul's day in Eastern Middle East, ancient Israel, that were quite wealthy, actually. They inherited land, they inherited money, and they were well-to-do, so they didn't have the same need as other widows. And Paul's first set of instructions is to figure out the need and to help those who are really in need. He starts the passage that way and he ends it, verses 3 through 14. A lot has changed in our society over the last thousands and hundreds of years. There are now safety nets and places for people that never existed. We now have Social Security, pension funds, 401ks. Women can get degrees. Women can get jobs. Women can own land. They can have a business. At one time, women couldn't vote in the United States of America, but now they can. So it's really quite amazing how much has changed for women over the years. But that doesn't mean that all are okay. And sometimes people fall through the cracks, even though there are safety nets. There are people with real hurt, real pain, real suffering. People continue to struggle to cover the cost of living, to provide for their basic needs. So the first step would be for us to figure out those needs. Paul goes on to say, actually, the first people that should be caring for the widows is their family, not necessarily the church. This is so important to Paul and to God that he says in verse 8, anyone who does not provide for their relatives, especially for their own household, they've denied the faith, and they're worse off than an unbeliever. Pretty strong statement there. Joanne has experienced that. Others, I'm sure, have experienced that as well in their lives. There's a place for us as a church, but it's interesting to figure out God's word for us as we think about a ministry to widows. This is a picture of my in-laws. I'm going to brag on them for a little bit. In the picture, this is Mary Lee's dad's side of the family. So his parents are Jean and Margaret. And then there's Tom holding Jeremiah. The youngest is Mary. Down in the front row, far left, is the middle daughter, Paulette. Then it's Mary Lee, me, holding Anna, and then her mom, Ruth, on the far right. Jean died in July of 2012, which meant Margaret became a widow. And even before he died, they were living at home, and they were relying on the three kids to help them live at home. They all lived in Little Falls, a small town in central Minnesota right on the Mississippi River. And because they are all in town, they were able to go to the house often. But that just increased after Jean died and Margaret became a widow. She would have at least one, if not two, or three, or four kids, Ruth, her daughter-in-law being that fourth kid, visit the house either before work or on lunch break or after work, and people would be visiting one to two to three to four times a day. When we would come, we would bring the kids, and the kids would be the entertainment. We were the entertainment. As Margaret aged, she fell and broke a hip, and then ended up not being able to live at home anymore, had to move to a care facility. The kids, though, didn't stop visiting. Again, every day, every single day, someone in her family came to her. And as I share this story, one reaction may be, well, that's normal. That's what families do. Yes, that is normal. That is what families are to do. And this is how God makes care to widows a priority. This is how God makes it a priority, to care for widows. When they have family, family is to be there. And the church is to be there. That is normal. That is a normal ministry to widows, that the church would be there and it would be a priority.
What would an intentional ministry to widows look like for us here at Bethel? And I can dream all sorts of dreams and have visions for all sorts of ministries, but ultimately it comes down to what we will say yes to. And we will say yes to ministries that we feel drawn to. We will say yes to a ministry that God has placed on our heart, and we will say yes to a ministry that we have been gifted for. We have a tremendous opportunity to fulfill a ministry that God sees as pure religion, as one that he accepts. And my thought for us is, might we grow this ministry area in the year and years ahead? In a world with news filled with war and shootings and crime, assault, disease, death, lots of other things, our news has lots of things for us to fear. Every once in a while, there's a feel-good story. The news outlets will share a little nice story, sprinkle it here and there. I came across this one the other day. The headline was, "Farmers rally to help widow harvest corn after husband's death." The quote from the wife, "I know he's smiling down." Quoting the article, it says, "An Iowa widow lost her husband of over four decades in August and feels grateful for her neighbors after dozens of them rallied to harvest the corn on her sprawling farm. More than 70 people turned out to help Barb round up her crop in Harding County, turning out what would be 2 weeks' worth of work in one single day." Well, that's just what farmers do. They're there for each other. And that's what the church does. Will those 70 people continue to be there for Barb year after year? Probably not. Probably not all 70 people. And this is why he's told his church to make care for widows a priority. We as the church of God are to have a ministry to widows, especially with those of the greatest need, those who are truly all alone. May it be so. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are, for your love, for your care, for the way that you provide, for the work in our lives, for as our lives unfold, we can turn to your word to stand on those truths and the firm foundation. We thank you for that testimony for Joanne. Lord, for her to be brought up in the faith. And as a young girl losing her mom and having that be a faith growth time to continue on with life, ups and downs, and losing Mike and having that be a faith growth time to know that you are constant, we thank you for that. May we sense it in our lives too, to know your presence and your care. Help us as a church, Lord, to carry out this ministry that you would be glorified and that people would feel cared for by you through us. We pray in your name. Amen.